that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
it's
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning to the remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from a brisk and got a little snow on the ground this morning here at the Radio Ranch, but we are coming to you live this January 22nd, 2022. That's a lot of twos in there. And we welcome you here, and we've got a full crew this morning. And Jason, down in sunny and cold Colorado, good morning.
Good morning.
And Tim, out there in Nebraska, good morning.
Good morning.
And Josh, way down south, thanks for joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And again, Remnant, we lift our coffee cup to you, say good morning. Sit down and join us. Hopefully you have your Bible out, have your coffee. I've got a couple coffee cups here, and we'll be glad for, we're glad to have you join us as well for, well, where it goes, we really don't know. Pastor Peters came up with this idea a while back, several, many, many years ago, to have an opportunity to get together, talk about maybe some current events, what's on our minds, and an opportunity for like-minded Christians to gather together and just reminiscent of sitting around the old campfire having coffee. And so that's what we do. We'll have the phone lines open here in a little bit if you want to call in. But we're going to open up in prayer. We do our best to do that. And Josh, we'll ask if you would open us up this morning, sir.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We do thank you for the countless blessings that you have poured out upon us, Lord. We pray that you'd forgive us of our sins, Lord, that you cleanse us, purify us, and perfect us. Jesus, we do claim all the benefits of that blood that was shed for us, Lord. Pray that for ourselves and our family. Lord, pray that you'd watch over us and protect us and keep us safe this day, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to gather as a body of Christ, Lord, and be able to speak with one another and have steel to sharpen steel. Lord, do pray that you guide our thoughts and conversations as we come together this morning, Lord, and that our everything we got will be a blessing to your remnant. Lord, we do lift up our country today, Lord, and pray that you grant us a revival throughout the land, Lord. At 2 Chronicles 7:14, pray that you'd help us, Lord, our people, to repent and turn from our wicked ways, Lord, and turn back to you, get back on track. You lift up all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. We hope you're reading your Bible this year. We've sent the Bible reading plan out, and Jason got it posted up at the website. So, literally no excuse. It's there if you want to use it. I would encourage it. We just got through Joshua this week that we're in, and just stepping into Judges. And again, maybe you've read the Bible before, but you're at a different time in your life. You've hopefully grown, maybe matured, maybe gotten married, maybe starting to have a family, maybe changed jobs, maybe, who knows, our lives change, and we do, we grow. And this living word, it has more and more for us. It does. And so I would encourage you to do your best to read it. And this year's Bible reading plan by category, a week in the law, a week in the Psalms, a week in history. That's this week that we're in right now. It's a little different, read. I think by doing that, you kind of have a little better understanding maybe of what those people were going through at that time. And so, anyway, we'd be glad to send it to you, and if we need to reprint a few hundred, we could do that. If that's how if that's how many go out, we'll be glad to do that. We've certainly sent hundreds out. Anyway, so we've got it, and it's at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. So, well, Jason, you want to start things out this morning? You said you had a couple things to go over.
Yeah, sure. You know, I was noticing that, you know, they just had this competition, and these two trans swimmers competed against each other. And it's just, you know, how messed up it is when you get somebody who once was supposedly a man and, you know, is good at competing in a sport, and then switches over and now is competing in the women's and competing against another trans, and they're, you know, taking first and second place. And it just, I mean, it's number one. It's, I mean, it's sad for these women athletes that are talented and have abilities, but it just basically it pushes them out, you know, and makes them where they can't even compete anymore. And then you see it, and then you see the praise and stuff that they're getting, and all the promotions that they're getting and stuff like that. And then just recently, yesterday, there was a news article that I read that was talking about this teenager, 18, 19-year-old, that had all these voices in their head and was entertaining 30 different voices in their head and multiple personalities, and one of them was a trans. He was straight, but he was, there was one of them, one of the voices in her head was a trans. She's getting a gender reassignment. You know, and then they get all this promotion and praise and standing up and, oh, yeah, this is such a great thing. You know, it used to be that was considered a mental illness when you had something like that. And it just goes to show you just, I mean, how far people have gone and how far, you know, the left has gone. And these are the people that are teaching a lot of things in these public schools. Now, there's some schools that are good, there's some schools that are bad, there's some schools that are worse than others. I'm not going to be I'm not going to point a finger at who they are, but that's for parents to decide. And, you know, parents need to get involved and look at what their children are looking through, whether they're in a Christian school or whether they're in a public school. Recently here in Virginia, headline says, Virginia Democrats fight to hide sexually explicit school materials from parents. Virginia Democrats are fighting not only to keep sexual explicit material in public schools, but also to kill a bill that would require school boards to notify parents of sexually explicit materials being introduced. And, I mean, that just goes to show you. I mean, here in Virginia, I mean, it's like, wow. They don't want to let you know or to have to let you know what they're teaching your children. You know, and if you don't know what your children are being taught, then you need to get them out of the school. It's just part of being a, you know, and people need to step up to the plate. You know, it's you know, like Paul's been saying, something that really rung true to me is, you know, your sole purpose here on Earth is to train your replacements. And that's what, you know, Christian soldiers need to be doing. That's what parents need to be doing. That's what, that needs to be it. We need to have the idea that we want to leave this place a better place than where we got it. We want to train our children to be better than we are. We want to train our children to be better Christians than we are. We want to train our children to be better financially and smarter than we are. That is our jobs, and that's what we need to be striving for as Christian men and women of God.
You know, that, with you saying that, Jason, made me think about the fact that the schools aren't the only teachers. You know, when you sit your children down in front of that television to, you know, let them have their TV time or to be electronic babysitter or whatever, they're learning a lot from that too, and we need to make sure that if we're giving them that time, that we know that they're watching, and because you can't take anything for granted anymore.
Well, and it's so easy to find the wrong thing too, and sometimes it's so subtle that you don't even realize it. I've had it where I thought the children were watching something good, and it started off where it was something good. And as it goes on, it gets worse and worse and worse, and pretty soon it's, you know, turn that trash off.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, the other question I have is, that goes along with what you said, Jason, is they don't want parents to know what is being taught to your children. And my question is if you don't know what's being taught to your children, the big question is, why don't you? That's your job. You know, I mean, it's like they're a gift from God and a heritage from the Lord, and your responsibility is to at least make the effort to try to bring them up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. And if you're not doing that, you are a miserable failure. You know, I mean, it's like, and I'm not saying that we all get it right every time, because, you know.
No, I'm not saying that we do either, but there's a real problem when, I mean, just shows you that there's a problem when they don't want you to know what they're teaching your children. End of story. Yeah. It's like, and they know something's wrong with it, too.
That's right.
They do, exactly. Yeah, they know it's not so right.
What we're going to do, and this is what we're going to talk about, but don't tell your mom and dad. Well, you know, that's a real easy way to get in a fight with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Yeah, we're living in a...
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, we're just living in a world where, people... we have all this hypocrisy where people talk out of both sides of their mouth, and the Bible warns us over and over and over again about hypocrisy in our lives and how destructive it is. And that's what we see with these individuals. I mean, the hypocrisy of... which is another way of saying lies. Hypocrisy is just a lie, and they're bringing about these lies and making people swallow lies and trying to teach children that it's okay to live lies and believe lies and function on lies, and it brings about a fundamental change in the way that God can relate to us when we have that. I mean, I think everybody has some hypocrisy in their lives, because we're constantly in a human state of trying to stomp it out. But when you're trying to stomp it out, God can have a relationship with you. When you just love it so, he's far from you. He doesn't want anything to do with you, you know. So, yeah, that's another alienation tactic for our Heavenly Father to get our people and our children away from him. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, I just don't remember exactly the way that he put it, but I remember it, years ago it struck me and it stuck with me ever since. Pastor Peter just said, you know, it's not what you don't know, but it's what you know that isn't so. And that's the danger in allowing, you know, our children to learn that kind of stuff. And once they accept that as a truth, well, then it's a lot harder to debunk that than it is to just start over from, you know, from them being exposed to the truth and to the word and know that's not right what they're doing. And you know, and it's not just the children as well. One of my coworkers this week was telling me that, he's a Christian guy, and he was telling me that he had to stop watching Jeopardy. And he asked if I'd watched. I said, well, yeah, years ago I have watched Jeopardy in the past. And he said that there's a woman on there that's been on the longest winning streak of any woman that has ever been in the history of Jeopardy, except for the fact that she's not a woman. She is a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a woman that used to be a man. And he just, he got fed up with it. And he said, I'm not watching it anymore. That's garbage. You know? And he was mad about it because it is the deception in lies and it's wrong. And, so it's not just the children that they are teaching and programming. They're working on us every day, as well, trying to bring us over to the left.
Yep.
You know, Josh, the thought occurs to me
in every show.
That's right. They do, Tim. They have permeated every bit of that Talmudic trash on TV with more and more and worse and worse. Disney, we've turned cable TV off, 25 years ago. But Disney, they have their trans shows and their queer shows and with children that way. And it is certainly to indoctrinate, And you think, well, here's this game show. And that Jeopardy, that's one of the, you know, that's been around for a long time. A lot of people watch it. Don't think that's not planned out. That like you said, Josh, the longest winning, the person that's won more than anybody else and been on there longer is a trans, a piece of filth, it just living and loving and flaunting their sin. And that's by design. It is absolute by design. It was encouraging to me. You mentioned your person that you work with that turned it off, got mad. And you talked about it last Saturday. You know, what good is the salt? We are the salt of the earth. What good's the salt if it's lost its saltiness? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled. And people are realizing that they've been trampled on, that they've been taken in. And how do you get that salt back? You get trampled on. You get taken in to where you're like Popeye, like Pastor used to say. You know, you take all you can take, but then finally you can't. You just can't stand no more. And that's how that saltiness comes back. And that's really, you know, you mentioned that last week, Josh. I'm glad you did, because that's really been popping up in my my thoughts and in talking with people and examples. Time and time again, and I think that's what we're seeing in places. You know, the parents getting mad these last year or two at the school board meetings for just what you're talking about, Jason, because these left wing antichrist child haters are out to take our children, and some parents have woken up to it, and that's a good thing. It is. And that's part of, you know, come out of her, my people. You know, how many people think, well, you know, it's just Jeopardy. I enjoy Jeopardy. I like the questions and blah, blah, blah. And it's just one contestant and all that. And they don't realize that they are being brainwashed, that they're being you know, the enemy knows the more that they can put this filth in front of us, the more acceptable it becomes. And but some people are waking up to it, and that is a good, good thing.
I
you know, Jason, as I've listened to you say that, the hair stood up on the back of my neck, because I know whenever we were children, we were always taught when somebody told you that, you know, don't tell your parents or whatever, that was the, like the child molesters and the pedophiles and stuff. And
yeah.
Hearing you say that like that.
That's right. Well, and I think what we're talking about here is a Matthew 7 moment. I mean, basically what you said, Josh, you know, you got that guy talking to you. I know Jason's had people talking to him. I know I've had several in the last 10 days asking, you know, what's causing it? What can we do about it? You know, we're looking at all this going on. I mean, how are we going to change it? And Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. And I think we got a whole bunch of people seeking and knocking, and, you know, that's going on, and it's like, it's an opportunity. I mean, what an awakening situation there, where people are suddenly going, they're coming out of that slumber, you know, and out of that, out of that boiling pot. It's like, we got to get out of here. So, I call them God moments, but it's a real God moment when he's on the move.
Amen.
And those things are happening, you know, so I think we're seeing it going around.
Well, guys, let's take a phone call. Got the phone lines on. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, morning, Richard.
Good morning, Warren.
Yeah, I had to get away from the radio to call in. I heard you talk about the schools in Virginia, and that's all over. We don't know what they're teaching in them. And talking about, you know, what the children watch on television, the commercials on television aren't even fit to watch nowadays. They got, at least up here, they got these commercials with, what is your, you know, people in their underwear, and then they got the one with the guys with the pills they take, and they got these naked Jezebels on there. But I want to pray the Lord Jesus against the cell phones. I don't know how my cell phone number gets out there, but every once in a while I get that junk on my cell phone. I mean, some real disgusting porn stuff on there. Sheila does it once a great while, too, and imagine all these children there. You see them, they all got their, they're walking around from kindergarten through college age, you know, with that phone in front of them. That stuff's got to be popping up on their phones. You know, even if you have blockers on it, somehow they get through. I get junk like that in the mail, too. You know, about these pills and stuff you take, and but the worst thing is these cell phones. You know, we got an antenna so we can't block out the commercials. We try to watch, you know, good old-fashioned shows, godly type of stuff. So you got to sit there for 3 hours to watch one movie and go through all these sick commercials. You know, the Super Bowl is coming up, and they usually have some sick commercials on that. And so we have to pray against that.
Amen. Plenty to pray about, that's for sure. And against.
Yeah, I only have a handful of people that have my phone number, so I don't know how this junk gets on my cell phone. I know if you guys get that, but especially the children, have to pray against that. But God bless you.
All right, Warren. God bless. Thanks for the call this morning.
Wow. That's true. The commercials are worse than the TV, really. I mean, and we're seeing that this corporate advertising is horrific stuff. I mean, we've said that for a long time around here, that the commercials are terrible. I mean, the amount of things that they and it can't be about revenue, because the skewed, twisted, warped effort that they put into some of those commercial items, they're only targeting like 1% of the population is twisted like that. So what's the point of spending all this huge money? You know, every businessman knows that you want to appeal to the largest audience you possibly can if you're trying to get your product out there and sell it. So obviously they're using that as another change agent, not as a revenue generating project.
Yes.
That's what we see.
To make sin acceptable and just mainstream, to make it mainstream. And they have pretty much succeeded. You know, the pastor warned about it for years, for his entire preaching career. You know, from fighting the homosexuals down in Fort Collins, the city council, county council wanting to, or the city council wanting to, you know, give them special rights back 25 years ago, 30 years ago. And the things that you know, our pastors warned us about, Pastor Peters and Colonel Moore and Pastor Jones and others, they have come true. When you have a openly sinning governors, leaders in the state, what do you expect? What do our people expect? And well, whether they expect it or believe it or not, you know, when the leaders sin, it's the people that pay. We see that throughout the Bible. It certainly happened in David's time, and we're seeing that. But it's this normalization it's all okay, it's all okay, and it's not. It is not at all. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. And boy, it looks like, I know we're all in winter time. We've got some good snow here, single digits this morning. And Josh, you said you guys were below freezing there in the deep south. And I saw that the Carolinas are they're expecting the worst ice they've seen in over 20 years. Another ice storm coming through. I know they got hit pretty good with some snow here just last week. And a lot of times down south, I know Atlanta, you get a little ice, you get a little snow in there, and it all but shuts it down. And it's almost like when you see these things, like the good old days, you know, like Grandpa used to talk about, when we really got snow and it really got cold all over in the wintertime. But looks like some pretty serious ice heading there to the East Coast, and that's, I guess, better in January than July. Tim?
Well, I'd kind of like to step back for a moment to something that Warren said. I think that one of the things that I seen go by the other day was the fact that they rolled out 5G. Verizon and AT&T did on January 14th, or were supposed to roll it out on the 14th. But the airlines came out and just had an absolute, I mean, it was a major kerfluffle about not wanting it rolled out because it was going to cause all kinds of airline, and Jason can probably speak more to this even than I can, but all kinds of airline kerfluffles, and it was going to interfere with their low-altitude landing equipment and everything else. And so they were asking them to push it back. Well, they did manage to finally say, well, we'll push it back to the 19th. But basically, they were saying that that was going to create, that would grind commerce to a halt just because of that. And I think that, I think that's another thing, is that this 5G is some kind of a major bottleneck or God form. They've got to have that out there. And I think it's an interesting problem there, along with that, as to what the, but for the airlines to come out with that, you know, that's, they sent a letter to the Traffic Administration, and we're having problems all across this country with our delivery systems and our manufacturing systems and our freight systems like we've never had, you know. And I was just talking to a guy the other day that's on a multi-million-dollar construction project. It's a commercial project. And basically, he's like, we're just hurrying up and waiting because we can't get our materials or our supplies. We've got supply chain problems all over the place. And he said, you know, they tell us it'll be our equipment and parts will be here in a few days. And he said, you know, 2 weeks later, we're still waiting. And we're seeing this kind of stuff go on. And his question was, I just don't understand where this all came from. And it's like, well, it all started a long time ago, but it's, you know, it's coming to a head now. And we're seeing the results of all of their interference and, regulation and everything else. It's finally coming home to roost, and this is what we end up with. So, I mean, if you read any of your stories about, you know, communist countries or socialist countries, the first thing that always comes out, one of the biggest problems is they can't get anything done because they can't ever get anything, whether it's food, equipment, machine parts, or whatever. They can't get anything accomplished because of all that. And we're seeing this, I don't know if that's a third world issue or not. I mean, I don't know how you'd say that, but it's certainly a communist bloc issue, you know, and we're seeing that pop its head up all around this country right now. So it's an interesting issue that we're being faced with in this country.
So this week I had an opportunity to speak with a man from Turkey. That's where he and his family were from, and we were just talking about the differences in the two countries, and he was telling me how much that he loved it here. And I haven't researched what he was telling me, I guess, to fact check it, but from what he was saying, that the currency ratio was pretty much 14 of their dollars to one U.S. dollar, and that, you know, we don't think... he was saying that he could work here for one day and be able to fill up his vehicle with gas and buy his food, but there in Turkey, that it took pretty much a week and 2 days to work to be able to earn a tank of fuel. So, you know, somebody working full time could buy 3 tanks of fuel in a month there in Turkey. And just hearing the different things that he was talking about and the way that, you know, the food is and commodities and everything there really struck home with me, because it is one thing when you see stuff on TV, but it's another thing when you have somebody that is telling you from experience. And he said, you know, you Americans should really be more thankful for what you got. And I told him, I said, I couldn't agree with you more on that. I said, we really should be more thankful for what we got.
Wow.
Amen. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, amen to that. And you know, you think about that, Josh, and I agree with you 100%. And we talk about how much we are taxed, how much, you know, the government takes from us, how much we have pay income tax and state tax and tax on food and tax on fuel and all of this. And the supply chain issues and the increase, you know, highest inflation since the 1980s here in the country. And all of that, and with everything that the enemy has stolen, everything that he takes every day, the withholdings and the taxes and the free giveaways to everything, all the burdens that he puts on us. And still, like you're saying, still we are the most blessed people on the planet. we have a higher standard of living than most, even with all these things that the enemy has done. And the wealth that God has poured out upon his people here. When you compare it to other nations, when you compare it to other peoples, it still is head and shoulders above the rest of the world. And anymore, it equates into, well, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, it highlights how special it is of a place that God gave us.
Yes.
You know, our promised land. And if we do give it away, and let them take it from us, that they'd be more than happy to do that. He was speaking of, you know, their king that was up in the palace and you know, the higher ups, and they live like royalty, you know, and he said, but it's just the people of Turkey that are the ones that are suffering. You know, he said it's a beautiful country with beautiful scenes and all, and he said and people that come there to visit that have money and plenty of money, yeah, it's a great place for them. You know, and he said it's a great country for everybody but the people that live there. And I told him, I said, man, I said, that sure seems backwards, and he said, yeah, it does. And but that's what their plan for us is. They want to take all of our wealth and pile it up for them, and for their generations. They want to break our backs. And was listening to Pastor Peters the other day talking about Khrushchev, and you know, that rings so loudly every day more so.
Yes. Yeah. It is Esau seeking his birthright back again. And you know, Pastor brought it up, and same thing, Josh, listening to Pastor these last week or two, and boy, the things that he was talking about 20 years ago, it's just commonplace today. And I heard him mention one time, at least once, the freedom that the left puts out. And if you break that word down, is it not free Edom? Now, Christ came to set the captives free. And he set us free from sin and from death. And the word tells us that, you know, when we've been set free from that sin, that we don't turn back to it. That we seek the things that are higher and not the things that are lower. And we seek his better thoughts and the things that are good to focus on. You know, from the fruits of the Spirit versus the deeds of the flesh. And if we do that, then we are better off personally, and our society is better off. But our enemy understands that, and they live in deception. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, and that sin, what is it? The Bible talks about it's pleasurable for a season. I think many times that, you know, I see it almost like two sides of the same coin. We have freedom from sin. We have freedom in Christ, true freedom. You know, that perfect law of liberty. But the freedom that the enemy puts out, I think, is their esoteric and esso and exoteric messages is free Edom. They want to be free. They want to be free to do anything and everything they can, free to destroy, free to murder, free to do what they want. Anyway, I don't know if that's confusing. It probably is, but it sure, you know, there is a difference out there among the people. There's a difference out there among the, just like there was in Jesus's day. You know, you had people that heard him, his sheep heard his voice, and they followed. And then you had those people that saw what he did, saw the miracles, saw the people healed, the blind given sight, and the lame being able to take up their mat and walk, and the withered hand, and and just on and on and on, and the people that saw it, and yet they didn't believe. And we have that same today. We do. We have, you know, we have the people here that are his sheep, that hear his voice, that follow, that just want to, you know, just want to get along, so to speak. But the enemy is not like that. The enemy is not. You know,
we've got trends. We're on a trend that's leading to destruction, is what we are as America, as right now. And, you know, and that's right where our enemies, you know, want us. And you got to look at, you know, our enemies, they look at this as war. And they're warring on us on a lot of different fronts right now. They want to, you know, if you're going to go invade a country, you want a bunch of, you know, a bunch of queers, a bunch of transgenders, a bunch of people that don't even know their sexual orientation, because those are an easily conquered people. And they've done it a lot with their minds, and they can do it physically also. I mean, this week, yesterday, headlines on was Iran, China, and Russia holding naval drills in the North Indian Ocean. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I know when I hear about China and Russia doing an drills together, that kind of makes the hair on the back of your head stand up.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, and I think that we're living in the times of wars and rumors of wars. I mean, you look at what's happening with Russia and the Ukraine crisis, and Iran's involved now, and then China. And boy, I mean, you know, we've been at war with a lot of them for a long time, but we've been at war with China for a long time, and them collaborating with Russia, and I mean, they're making it a mockery of our administration, and you know, rightfully so. There's a lot of writing on the wall, so to speak.
Amen. I thought about this the other day with all this going on. You know, the huge, how do they put it? Industrialized military complex, or military industrialized complex. These huge corporations, the unimaginable amounts of money that are made in war. Not to even mention the loss of human life, which our enemy doesn't care about. But they don't make any money in peace. They don't make any money in peace. And the moves that they make, oh, we pulled out of Afghanistan, so now it's going to be no more war and time of peace. No, that's just preparing for the biggest war you've ever seen, is what that is. The Bible warns us about that. What is it when they call and they say, peace, peace? You know, it's just the opposite. And you're right, Jason, it is brewing. That pot is brewing. Russia walked away from those negotiations on the Ukraine. And the person we had there talking to him was some damn community organizer. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely insanity. Didn't know if you heard last week, Iranian militias were firing rockets at the American embassy in Baghdad. That was all over the news, right? Everybody saw that? No, wasn't reported on at all. And even the North Korea, old Kim Jong, they were doing the same thing. And it is. You look back, and I know, Jason, you've mentioned it several times, you know, the way Japan was leading up into World War II, and usually around Pearl Harbor Day we talk about this, and the things that that Japan was doing. They were making plans for world conquest, and they were lying through their teeth to us, and they were being deceptive everywhere before December 7th. And we're seeing the same thing happening, the same thing. Russia is doing the same thing. China's doing the same thing. Saw this article that, you know, everybody mocked President Trump when he started this Space Force, the new military branch, right? Haven't added a branch to the military since World War II. And he was mocked for it and all that, but it's coming out that Russia and Egypt and China both are regularly attacking our satellites, taking them out or putting viruses in them so they can take over. You remember all the drones back, just 3 years ago, that all the military drone software and hardware that the military were using, they were all from China, and China was getting the drone feeds faster than our military was. And President Trump at the time put an end to that. But that's all back. That's all back. That's all been turned around. And that's what your enemy does, like you were saying, Jason. That's what they do. They are preparing. They don't just walk blindly into it. They are preparing for war. And, Communist China is super friendly with Latin America, with everything, with every one of our southern neighbors. Every one of them. Latin America, Mexico, Brazil, every one of our every country in South America, they get drugs and whatever they need from China, and China gets raw materials, beef and soybeans and all, and they are throughout South America. And we've talked about how they've been in Canada so much that they have signs in English and Chinese in Canada. That's how much they permeated that culture. And so we are all but surrounded by the Chinese. They bought ports in California, nobody's putting these points together. Nobody's connecting the dots, and see that they are preparing, because if it's not a 30-second soundbite, oh well, let me move on to the next 30-second soundbite. That's the mentality today. And so yeah, we are. I think we are facing that. We really are.
You know, we're talking about their power and the things that they're doing, which is happening all around us. But the key thing to remember with that is that's a sliding scale. They get their power from disconnecting us from our power. So the further that they can pull us away from God, the more effective they are. Because when we are in crisis, we're supposed to be, when we're in contact with that blood, and whenever we are a repentant nation that's looking to God as our King and for our answers, they don't have any power over us. It's just kind of like those thugs that are, leading children away with candy. I mean, they're trying to pull us away from our God, whether that candy is those drugs you were talking about, Richard, or those commercials or whatever it is. They're offering us displeasure if we'll come over to the dark side. And the more that we continue to do that, the further we are from our God, and the less He's going to bless us. So that's the thing, and I try to remind myself first and then talk to folks around me, is this is a battle that you fight every minute of every day. And whenever you make that choice to follow God and to do good and not to do evil and to be obedient and be in His will, that's how we win this war, through prayer and fasting and obedience and doing His work and being in His will every minute of the day that we can. Now, are we going to make mistakes? Certainly. Or are we going to fall away? No doubt. But I was talking to a gentleman a couple of weeks ago, and he was just talking about how hard it is to pray. And I told him that I've been there before, where it's hard to pray. But that's when we need to pray the most, because we are the farthest from Him. And God is, He is our refuge. And so I'll try to pray on Saturday mornings that God would give me a scripture to share. And this morning it was Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though its mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations make an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord. who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes the ways to, he makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that all of America would hear and listen and believe that. That's certainly our prayer. Well, I think we've got time for one more phone call. Good evening, or good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, this is Joanne from Wisconsin, and I think Josh just covered everything that I was thinking. But my thoughts were, we just got done reading Joshua.
Yes.
And in Joshua, it shows that every single time that we turn away from our God, and this country is just like Sodom and Gomorrah right now, every single time we turn away from him, he sends somebody to beat us up. And by God, we probably deserve it this time. That's my thoughts. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joanne.
Yes, ma'am, you're correct. We do deserve it because of our sin. But through the blood of Christ, we are perfected and we are righteous. And we are worthy, but not on our own.
Amen to that. And that's how it was in Joshua and all throughout the Bible, that on their own, our people can't do anything. We can't do anything. He even says when he selected us, it wasn't because we were the biggest or the baddest or the most or the best or the smartest. No, we were the fewest, the weakest. And on our own, we're still that way. But through Christ who strengthens us, we can do all things. We can do all things. And thank God for that redemption that he covered.
Well, yeah, and looking at our past and looking toward our future, we see Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free.
Yes.
Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. So with God's help, that's the future, you know. I mean, that's the now and upcoming. There's this moment right now of tribulation and trials that we're bearing as a result of the stupidity that's going on in our land. But God didn't make us free for any other reason than for the freedom of what he did. And all we have to do is stand firm in him and refuse to be subjected again to that. He'll honor those things. So we just need to cry out and continue acting on the promises of God and upon his promises. And as we do that, it'll come back around. I mean, the bottom line is skip to the end and read. You know, this is one book that maybe reading the end is not always a bad thing. Oh, yeah, we win. God's people win. God wins. You know, that's the way it is. So.
Amen. Yes. Yes, he wins. His people win. And if you want to win also, just join up. It's a great thing. You know, we talk about our phones being recorded and the enemy listening in and, you know, good. If you can repent, and join the crowd.
You know, that 11th hour story is still as applicable now as it was whenever it was penned, and that's something that that's not a natural idea to us, but it's because his ways are greater than our ways. It's because of that love that he has for us. And so it's not too late to change and to do better.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, guys, we are all but out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us, and want to invite you to church tomorrow. And you can join us at scriptures4america.org. We'll plan on firing things up about 8:30 tomorrow morning, 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 out on the West Coast. Don't want to forget you guys. And we do. You can join us. We'll have a review of the news, kind of talk about some of the things that are going on. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth that is prophecy. I feel comfortable in saying that it is the prophetic word that more than likely we have seen come true. And it will be an encouragement to you. We'll have a live message. We'll have communion. And so, Remnant, we ask you to join us. You can do that. You can not forsake the assembly. And again, join with like-minded believers, with those that love and gather in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, we hope you'll join us. Men, again, thanks. Have a great weekend. And Remnant, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, I'm standing on the promises of God. Of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. On the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Rolling, rolling, rolling.